Welcome to Squash Your Mind Bugs with Calvin Corelli. I'm Calvin, a software engineer turned life debugger who's been lost, stuck, and drowning in debt only to crack the code to a $5 million business and a life I absolutely love. This show's about you squashing those invisible glitches in your mind that sabotage your growth. We'll blend next-gen mindset to break your limits with first principle strategy to build what lasts. No fluff, no magic pills, just real talk and tools to debug your way to flow. Hit subscribe and let's squash some bugs together, starting right now. Today, I'm going to share with you the secret to life. I know the secret to life sounds like a big thing, but what I want to do for you is to summarize the game of life, how this stuff works at the simplest, most fundamental level. So let's get to it. My name is Calvin Corelli. I am the founder of a software company called Simplero, where I've helped thousands of coaches make 600 and whatever million dollars over the years. I started that software because I was doing spiritual coaching with entrepreneurs. It is my passion. I've been doing it for almost two decades, and it is super duper fun. Summarizing the game of life, and I laugh a little, I chuckle a little bit because it's such a grandiose kind of thing to say, but hear me out. The way I think of it is that the game of life really comes down to experiencing something that we don't necessarily like that much. Like whatever it is, traffic jam, feeling overweight, being sick, not having enough money, whatever. And that thing that we don't like generates the desire for something that we do want instead. And that desire is actually really awesome. We want to hold on to that. And then from there, we let go of our resistance to the way that things are, and then we let go of our resistance to things being the way we actually want them to be. And then as we do that, we feel called to take certain action, which I call inspired action. And as we do, the result, the outcome that we do want starts appearing in our lives. That, my friends, is the master game plan, if you will. I'm going to unpack it for you because there are a lot of pitfalls here, a lot of places where people get stuck and get hung up. So starting at the top, we all go through life experiencing stuff that we don't want, right? That's the basis of any business, is it is solving, taking away something that you have that you don't want, like a disease, and giving you something that you want, but you don't have. That's essentially either you have something you don't want or you don't have something that you do want, and you're like, that sucks, that's pain. But if only I had the thing that I want, or didn't have the thing that I don't want, then I'd be happy, I'd feel pleasure. That in itself is a lie. And this is the fundamental misunderstanding of life, that we think that our how we feel is in any way a reflection of our life circumstances. That's not true. We think, oh, if only I had that money or that car or that spouse or whatever it is, then, oh my God, I would feel amazing. I would feel so good and everything would be fixed and I would be like permanent, perma-happy. It doesn't work that way. There's no perma-happy. There's always going to be things you don't like and there's always going to be things that you do. However, what we can do is we can move towards being better and creating things that we do like. Why not? We're infinitely creative beings. Why not really play around in this 3D world and create all the things that we do want in our lives? And this is the way to do that at a high level. When people experience things they don't want, we tend to call them problems, right? And what do most people do with problems? Most people get really annoyed with them, really frustrated, really angry, or maybe they get sad and depressed about them. They're like, oh yeah, this disease, and like, oh, I don't have any money, and poor me, and like, all the rich people are stealing all the money, and blah, blah, blah. So they get like, ugh, annoyed, frustrated, angry, upset. They might be the victim. Oh yeah, it's impossible, I can't, look at me, it's so hard. Or get into drama about it, and all that kind of stuff, yeah? Now, some people are going to be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this. And so they get into this like force, into pushing back on the world, into working hard and hustling and like a lot of warrior energy. Some people do that. And then there are other people who just resign. They give up. They're just like, yeah, there's nothing I can do about it. It's just how it is. Say you're getting older and you're like, yeah, there's just like more pain and a little bit slower in the brain, a little bit slower overall. You need to take some medication, disease, like the body breaks down. It's just how it is. Or like, yeah, money is hard. Making money is hard. Business is hard. Like the world's unfair. Like, yeah, it's probably just as good as it gets. A standard line when I speak to people in Denmark, where I'm from, is, yeah, I can't complain. It happens in America too. People say, yeah, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Yeah, I can't complain. What kind of a standard is that? I can't complain. Yeah, I'm sure you could complain, right? But you've just learned not to complain, which is a good thing. It's good to learn not to complain, but just saying, I probably could complain if I really wanted to. I could think of a few things to complain about. And notice our brains are so much better at finding the things that we don't like about our reality than the things that we do. There can often be this fear that if we focus too much on the good things, or we don't focus enough on the bad things, on the things we don't like, then they'll never change. And as we'll see, that's a lie. And so when it comes to problems, like we said, most people push hard, or they give up, or they complain, or the victim of the drama. How about another approach? What about this approach? Whenever you experience something that you don't like, instead, turn it into a strong desire. The alternative is get into desire. Let it spark a strong desire for something more, a hunger. That desire, that hunger is really the driving force of everything. Literally, no babies would exist without desire. Desire is a beautiful thing. Now, some people have problems with desire. As a man, I desire my woman, my wife, and I'm like, I can't focus on anything else until I have her. And then it's just, oh, I need to get this desire satiated. I'm going to be really uncomfortable till the moment that it happens. That's one way of relating to desire. Naval Ravikant, who's awesome, has this phrase. He says, desire is a contract you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. That's a common way to relate to desire. Desire is just a feeling. How you relate to feeling is the whole game here, right? We can resist the feeling. Like, so what he's saying is like, desire is uncomfortable. And so I'm just like, gonna be uncomfortable and unhappy until I get what I want, in which case the desire is released. Whew. And then the thing is, we think the desire makes us think that getting the thing is gonna make us happy, but it doesn't. We've all experienced that. We buy a new car. You may have heard me tell the story of when I bought this BMW Z4 that I dreamt of for 10 years. I've just been wanting this car so bad. I'm like, oh God, give me the car. And then I bought it. And then it took me months before I could actually take possession of it because I was stuck in Denmark and it was in America. And then I finally got it and I felt on top of the world for exactly 2 weeks, 14 days. And then after 14 days, it was like, just a car. And that is the fallacy of thinking that when I have this in the outer world, then I'm going to feel good. Doesn't work that way. It works the other way. Your outer circumstances, victimhood is believing that your outer circumstance impacts how you feel in any way. If you have any belief that whatever happens in your outer circumstance in life can determine how you feel, you're being in victim. I just want to be so clear as I can about that. You are being in victim mode if that's the case. So desire can be a very positive thing. When I'm desiring my wife, when you're desiring your partner, that's a beautiful thing. And if you, the more that you can stay with that tension of the desire, the more exciting it gets, and you can let it grow and grow and have these beautiful experiences together. And it's the same with desire in every other area. Savor the feeling of desire and stoke it and let it grow, knowing that it's not, oh, then when the desire is satiated, like you're gonna be perma happy. Again, it doesn't work that way. It's just another experience in life, but it's a really delightful experience. We like feeling desire. One of my teachers, Gay Hendricks, introduced me to this quote by Fritz Perls, the founder of Gestalt Therapy, which is fear is excitement with the breath held. Yeah, fear is actually excitement. Excitement is a good feeling, but it's the same as fear. It's just when we're holding our breath, when we're resisting the feeling of fear, we're like, oh God, it sucks, I hate this. But then when you open, you expand, then it becomes excitement, and then we can actually enjoy that feeling. It's the same with desire. When you don't resist it, when you don't contract or hold your breath and close down, then desire can actually be very expansive and very beautiful, and it makes you feel alive, right? It makes you feel joyous. We like it. We like to feel desire. So enjoy that feeling of desire. Without desire, there's no progress. There's no hunger. There's no continuation of life. Even in, there's a famous book called I Am That by some Indian guru. It's like Conversations. It's a fascinating book. But in that book, it's just like highest evolved spiritual, if you will, he talks about, again, that the desire to know the truth is the most important determinant of whether you will realize the truth of who you are. Who are you really at the core? Which is, spoiler alert, the answer is pure awareness. But you will only ever realize that and know that in your soul, in your heart, when your desire to know that is stronger than anything else. So desire is a really good thing. Don't shy away from it. The thing is, though, that a lot of us have grown up in a culture that tries to stamp desire out of us. Like, especially me being from Scandinavia, there's this law of Jente. It says, you're not to think you're anybody special. You're not to think you're as good as we are. You're not to think you're smarter than we are. You're not to imagine yourself better than we are. You're not to think more than we do. You're not to think you're more important than we are. You're not to think you're good at anything. You're not to laugh at us. You're not to think anyone cares about you. You're not to think you can teach us anything. It's all about don't stand out. Don't be special. Don't have big dreams or big aspirations or big desires or want beautiful things. Like, this is good enough. And I was sharing this with a friend of mine over New Year's Eve, Eric from Nebraska, and he was like, that sounds exactly like Nebraska. And the thing is, it's popularized as Law of Jente from Scandinavia, but it's really much more common than you think. In America, over the past 25 years, as I've been here and experienced it, I see America more and more going in that direction. I think there's a counter movement now, but it's become very not celebrating the outliers, not celebrating the people who are creating amazing things. In Australia, they call it the tall puppy syndrome. So it's a pretty general, universal human phenomenon of don't stand out too much. And so that culture helps stamp out desire in us. But I want you to recognize that every time you experience something that you don't like, that you don't want, it creates a desire. If you let it, if you don't talk yourself out of it, it'll naturally create a desire in you for something better, more money, better health, better relationship, whatever it is. And that's a good thing. Take everything that happens as an invitation for, oh, this could be better. Oh, this could be better. Oh, this could be better. Not from a, oh, life sucks until this gets better, but more, that's exciting. What else is in store? What else could we do? This is like the universe's greatest playground. It's like an incredible playground where we can literally create whatever the hell we want in life. Think about it. There are people right now who are your age who have created amazing things. What's the difference? There might be some circumstances and whatnot, but generally speaking, if it's possible for them, it's possible for you. So much is possible for us, yeah? So that's number one, the desire. And you can't have too many desires. As long as you don't have this story that if I don't get my desire, if I don't have it right now, life sucks, then you can't have too many. Have tons of desires and write them out and get clear on them and feel how it would feel to have those. And that, my friends, leads us to the next step, which is non-resistance. Not resisting how things are today, and also not resisting how you want them to be. So the more you resist the way things are, the more that drains your energy, your vibration. It puts you in a low energy state. And from that state, you're not going to attract what you want. So that's level one. Level two is we want something because we think that having that is going to make us feel amazing, right? If I had this, I would feel happy and successful. Problem is, this happened for me. Oh, whenever I have a business that's making X number of dollars and has 50 employees, then I'm going to feel happy and successful. Problem is, I also have a program that says, I'm a victim because my parents didn't love me the right way and I didn't have the right friends or circumstances or opportunities. And so therefore I can't be happy and successful. So therefore I need to stay unhappy and unsuccessful in order to prove that I really am a victim and that my parents really fucked it up for me. Yeah. And I can work as hard as I fucking want, but if that programming says you cannot under any circumstances be happy and successful, because that would negate your whole thesis in life that you're a fucking victim and it's their fault, then I'm going to stay unhappy and unsuccessful. Yeah. So even though I tell myself consciously a story that says, I want to have all this money and all these people working for me, and then I'm going to feel happy and successful, the reality is it ain't fucking happening. It ain't happening because my whole unconscious programming says, no way, Jose. And so we got to get over that resistance. So we have a resistance to, there's one type of resistance, which is resisting to the way life is right now. And then there's resistance to how we want it to be. Yeah. So, and how we would feel if we had what we think that we want. Okay. So we want to let go of all of that resistance. And the way that we do that is by shifting your beliefs and your emotions and your energy to align with what you do want. And the way that we do that is basically, the way I think of it is like your state determines your outcomes. So the state that you're in determines how, what kind of action you're going to take and how that action is going to work out. I remember hearing Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about how, like, when he lifts weight, it really matters his consciousness that he's aware of the muscle working and the intention and the energy of what he's doing. Like, he's consciously engaged in it and his intention is there, is really important versus just lifting the weight. Like, your state impacts everything. It impacts what actions you take and how they work out for you. And there are only, broadly speaking, two states you can be in. You can be in a beautiful state, like a happy, loving, joyous, creative state, or you can be in a suffering state, like a negative state, like sad, depressed, whatever. Those are the only ones. So there's grades of this and there's different versions of it, but overall, let's just look at it that way. You want to make sure that you're not in a suffering state and that you're always in a beautiful state. And we break it down into thoughts and emotions and energy. Thoughts and feelings, they're in the same way, there's helpful thoughts and unhelpful thoughts. When it comes to helpful thoughts, those are things like, I got this, I can totally do this, like, this is absolutely happening. It's things like focusing on evidence that it already is there. If you want more abundance, look at the abundance that you already have in your life. If you want more relationships or better relationships, focus on the relationships that you already have and what's awesome about them and all the great relationships that you already have. Focus on what's there. Stop focusing on what's not there. There's also there's a book by Benjamin Hardy called The Gap Versus the Gain. When you focus on the gap between where you want to be and where you are, most of us think, and I have had this programming too in my head that says we got to keep focusing on where we want to go and what's missing so that we can gear ourselves up to get there. And that's all of that warrior energy, that's forcing energy. But it's that doesn't get us into a good state. Like, I would argue with people's, no, they would be like, but Calvin, you're doing amazing. Like, all these things. I'm like, yeah, but it's not good enough. It's not where I want it to be. And that would take me into a suffering state. And from that energy, I'm not going to be able to create the thing. Like, I might with really a lot of effort, but it's not sustainable. I've gotten great results, but where it wasn't sustainable because I was coming from a suffering state. The alternative is to focus on everything that's going right. Everything, every piece of evidence that things are ready the way you want them, which Benjamin calls the gain. How far you've come. Everything that you have. Not even like the looking at where I was and where I am today as in the game, but also just looking at everything you that's in your life that's beautiful that maybe you didn't even create, like the weather or the view of the water or just sweet and beautiful people and everything, anything that's right and good, because that's going to put you into a better state. You know? And when it comes to thoughts and beliefs, something that I love is just literally list out all of your thoughts and beliefs around this topic. Like, I'm behind, I'm not safe, other people have more, I can't have this, they're stealing from everybody else, it's hard, it won't work, I'm stuck, I'm like, I'm a loser, nothing works for me, blah, 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 blah. List just out all the thoughts that are going on in your head that aren't helpful and list out all the ones that are helpful too. But then the ones that aren't helpful, fuck with them a little bit. It helps to just list them out so you can see them. So now when they come up, you're like, it's just, eh. But there are two ways that we can fuck with them. One is NLP, the other is inquiry. The inquiry method is just ask yourself, is it true? Can I absolutely know that it's true that I'm behind, that I'm not safe, that it won't work for me? Can I absolutely know that's true? Check in. Check in with yourself. Chances are you can't. Assuming you can't, how do you feel when you think it? When you think that? How would you feel if you couldn't think that? To contrast how it feels in your body to think, oh, I'm behind. To me, it's stress, right? And how would it feel if I couldn't think that thought? I'd feel more relaxed, more at ease. That's a better state, yeah? And then find another phrase that's turn it around to something that's as true or truer, that is the opposite. So I'm not behind. I'm exactly where I should be. I'm in the right place. I'm ahead. And is that as true or truer? And give me evidence for why they're as true or truer. And then how do you feel when you think that thought? And so it's a way to just get awareness around the thought to see like, how does it feel in your body? And really check in honestly with yourself in the body, mind, sense about the veracity, whether the thought is true or not. Yeah? So that's number one is the inquiry. Number two is NLP, which NLP is like a big topic. But for the purposes of this, what you can do is just say the thing in a silly, like Mickey Mouse voice, I'm behind. Or you can say like backwards, behind I, behind I, what would it be? Behind am I. You can say it super fast. You can say it super slow. You can say it in a country western song style. You can say as your favorite cartoon character. You can just say it in all kinds of silly, stupid ways. And the point of that is to just, and you can add some stuff like, oh, behind, ah, I'm behind. Like you can do stupid body stuff too. The point of that is like it starts to scramble that thought. So now when it pops into your head, those images of like you, like all that stuff is going to pop into your head as well. And it's going to be like, oh, that's a stupid, silly thought. So that's a simple NLP technique that you can use when you catch those thoughts, when you notice the thoughts that you're having. Next up, let's talk about emotions. So emotions are, aside from what we already talked about, how like we have resistance to actually feeling the thing that we want to feel, there's also this level of emotions are the fuel that gets us to move, that gets us to do stuff, right? One of the exercises you can do is list out all the emotions that you feel on a regular basis over a typical week and notice like which of these emotions are actually helpful versus harmful, which are helping you get where you want to go and which are not. And which feel good, right? Which lead to a beautiful state and which lead to a suffering state. And what you might find is that there are certain emotions that are suffering, that are negative, that you're addicted to. So a lot of people are addicted to feeling angry, or they're addicted to feeling frustrated, or upset in some way, or maybe they're addicted to feeling, maybe you're addicted to feeling depressed or sad or confused or scared or unsuccessful or lonely. And if you are, then these negative feeling states are going to, you're going to keep producing them because you have an addiction to them. The way that Tony Robbins breaks this down that I love is that he looks at the six human needs. We all have a need for certainty. I don't have time to go into all the details of that. We can do, you can look that up actually separately. There's a ton of videos on that. But certainty, uncertainty, significance, love and connection, growth and contributions. And oftentimes a negative feeling like depression or anger or something will meet a need for four of those. If you are addicted to feeling angry, like that gives you a sense of certainty that you can always go to that anger and you're going to get the same thing. It's very certain. It also meets a need for variety because you can be in a situation where you're happy and whatever, but you can go to anger. And so now it creates a contrast, which is uncertainty or variety, which is number two. Number three, significance. Anger is really something that can make someone feel significant. I am important. I am, therefore you must, right? So significance can be a big driver of anger. And then finally, love and connection. Potentially, at least maybe it's something that gives you a feeling of connection with yourself. You feel alive, you feel connected. It might not bring you a lot of connection with others, but maybe it does, who knows? And once you have a pattern that's meeting at least three needs, then it becomes an addiction. And look at the areas, the emotions that you go to, that you go to over and over again, and then look at how you're addicted to those feeling states. And then choose something else. What could you do instead that would meet the same needs but actually be helpful for you? There's also stuck emotions, like feelings that we don't want to feel, feelings that overwhelmed us a long time ago. And just cultivating a willingness to feel everything that pops up, I find has been incredibly helpful in my life. The way I think about it is, as kids, we have feelings that are just overwhelming to our system. It's just too much, too strong of an energy. And in that situation, we suppress them, we squeeze them down. But those feelings still live inside of somewhere. There's a book I read years ago that I love, the title of which is Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. They still are in our body, in our energy. And what will happen is that something happens in our external environment that triggers that feeling, but we can't be with it, and that's when we lash out, and maybe we cover it up with anger. But deep inside, there's grief, or there's fear, or there's sense of loneliness or sadness or some old feeling that we just have never allowed ourselves to contact, to feel. And so what you want to do is every time you get triggered, it's an invitation to visit with that young, wounded part of yourself and just be there for that person and feel it and heal that emotion. And that's a whole other topic that we can go deeper on. But beware of those stuck emotions, because they can really be like an anchor to something that you don't want. That's definitely been the case for me. And then lastly on emotions, practice feeling the feelings that you want to feel today. So meditation can be a great way to do this, where you just get into that feeling that you want to feel again and again on a regular basis. Just practice feeling. If you want to feel happy and successful, or you want to feel love and connection, you want to feel joy, you want to feel abundance, like whatever it is, really practice getting to feeling that way today. Either just as you go about life or in a meditation of some sort. There's tons of great meditations on YouTube, and all kinds of people have great meditations. And you don't need to listen to anything either, but just practice feeling those feelings that you want to feel today. The more that you do, the more you're going to bring to you the things that you actually want. All right. And then the third element, we talk about thoughts and beliefs. We talked about emotions. And then the third element here is energetic bonds. I'm not going to go super deep on this, but I have just found that there can be these energetic bonds, cords, loyalties, etc., that can really fuck us up. So they're going to show up usually, like through our emotions and sensations as well. It's just another frame to look at it. There's a topic, there's a modality that I've discovered pretty recently called family constellations, which has been mind-blowing for me, something that I highly recommend. I've been using energy healings of different sorts, body SDS, which kind of works all of this, mind, emotions, energy, thoughts, and the physical piece as well. Don't overlook the body, by the way. Like, the body is like, when you move the body and you get more energy into the body and you exercise more, you breathe deeper, and you just, that raises the vibration in your body, which then makes everything else work much more easily. So energy healing, family constellations, things like that work at the energy level, super, super helpful as well. And that leads us to the next step. So now we're working on the resistance. We're working on releasing any level of resistance that we have to the way things are, or the way that we desire things to be, and even letting go of the resistance to the desire itself. Yeah. And now we take inspired action from here. I'm not advocating don't take action. What I am advocating is, and I've done this a ton, is just like trying to brute force my way through, and it's just never really worked out for me. That's why I got into the spiritual entrepreneurship in the first place, because I saw that in the areas of my life where I did best, it wasn't through like working hard at it and like every day. That never worked. So I was like, what is it that works? And this is what works. You know, so you take the action that you feel called to take, that you feel inspired to take, and then you follow your bliss, as Joseph Campbell said. What actually makes you happy? For me, I love to get up in the morning and go to the gym and lift weights. It doesn't feel like a drag to me. It doesn't feel like I have to do this. I love it. It's fun for me. I listen to audiobooks and I learn a bunch of shit and I move my body and I feel amazing in my body afterwards. It set me up for the day. I go to the sauna after and do a meditation or journaling or something. I really love how it makes me feel. It feels really awesome. And so take actions that you feel compelled or drawn to. It's okay to be scared of them. It's a good thing, because fear is excitement with the breath held. But notice the energy of the thing that you're thinking about doing. Notice the energy of how that feels. How does it make you feel to think about that? I'm going to do here. And do those actions that bring you energy. And then as you do that, you're going to see your desire become a reality. Or not. There's no guarantees here. But more likely than not, you're going to see your desires, your true desires, become a reality. It's been said that you are not giving a desire with also being giving the means to realizing that desire. And I absolutely believe that's true. And I know that it's true? I don't. But that thought, that belief is helpful to me, because it makes me actually work on achieving it, which might make it come true, as long as I don't have resistance to the desire for it or resistance to it not being here. That's an amazing thing. It challenges me to grow and be a bigger person, because it's never about the goal. It's always about who you become in the process. Yeah. So having that belief is really helpful, versus the opposite belief is, yeah, I'm giving all kinds of desires and chances, and there's like, some of them are going to work out, but some of them are just impossible. That's going to make me less likely to actually do the work to achieve that desire. And then it probably for sure won't happen. I guess there's an off chance that someone's going to hand me a private jet and the money to run it just because they like my glasses, but it's less likely, shall we say. This is the process. And the reason I bring this whole thing up is that I see on the internet, like there's a lot of content about manifestation and all of that. And most of it is like a little bit, I don't know, a little bit awesome. No, some of it is keep missing some pieces. It's just like, imagine as it comes to you and maybe that works for them and that's awesome. But what I'm really seeing, especially in the business world, is a lot of focus on the action in the outer. Right? Do this and this technique and this tactic and do and do and do and do and do and here are the three steps. And in the coaching world too, there's a lot of here's the strategies, here's the techniques, here's the things. And those strategies, if you copy them, if you implement those, they might work for you if your energy, your state, is already there. If you're already in a place of non-resistance to the outcome and you're just like, I'm there, I just need someone to give me the how-to and then I'll do it and everything's good. Those people are rare. That's the minority. Most people, that's not the case. Most people are like, they need some shifts internally in order to get there. And really, that's the majority of the work, is that internal shift, because then when you're shifted internally, the actually achieving the outcome, taking the action that's necessary to get the outcome, is actually the easy part. It's the fast part. And one of the ways that you can know this is, for example, most successful entrepreneurs who go through a bankruptcy end up making a lot more money, a lot more easily the second time after the bankruptcy, because they already figured it out. Like the bankruptcy was a blip. They're already there in terms of their state, their energy, their being, their non-resistance. And now it's just a matter of doing the things, and then it happens really quickly. I think for a lot of people that are like, yeah, this is what I did, make a bunch of money and like all that, it's that they were already there. And maybe that's something that took a while. It might have taken them 10 years to get their psychology and their mind in the right place for that to be easy. But that's not what they talk about. And I'm not blaming or criticizing anybody. I'm just saying, this is what I've seen in my life, is this is the most important piece of it. Because once you do that, everything else falls into place. The action becomes inspired, becomes fun and effortless, and the results actually materialize. So that's why I want you to have this. And I hope that this was useful for you. If you like it, go over, subscribe and hit the bell button and tell all your friends about it. That's the main way that you can thank me. Also, add a comment. Let me know what you think and let me know how this works for you. All right. I love you. Happy 2025. And I can't wait to see you again next time.